Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com. The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2. We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You've been hoping to see the light. Your words are like keep holding on. 'Cause it's golden and he is calling you, calling you. You've chosen.
All right, everybody, I want to thank you all for joining us again for another episode of the Servant Leader Coaches Bible Study. I am your host, Coach Chelsea, and I'm super excited just to join again in fellowship to just have this move of God to grow in servant leadership, to grow in our faith, and just to grow into building one another. Just like the word says, iron sharpens iron. And each time we have an opportunity to do this and have on new servant leaders, I feel like I get so sharp. And today I've already been sharpened some. I know I'm going to leave even more sharp with the servant leader we have today. We have servant leader David Zechman with us today. And I want to take a second to just say this to you. Time is one of those important gifts that once it's given, I can't give it back. So I want to thank you first and foremost. You all, David is, I like to call it, multifaceted servant leader. He is in the healthcare profession. He is an author. He's a speaker. And speaking on author, he's going to talk to us a little bit about his new book that is so amazing. It is literally going to, I feel like it's the blueprint for servant leadership. I'm going to let him tell you about that. But more than anything, he has a background of sports, being a high school teacher, being a high school coach. And I'm so thankful just to have you on today. So David, thank you so much for being here. I'm going to pass the torch to you to say hello to our listeners, and we can get this conversation started.
Great. Well, thank you, Coach Chelsea. I'm delighted to be here today. And we were chatting a little bit before and before the show, and we were talking about coaching and teaching. And I'm just grateful for people like Coach Chelsea, who's leading our young ladies in basketball, but also in life. And we need so many of those. And, you know, one of the things that I started my professional career as a high school biology teacher and a football and track coach in Cleveland, Ohio, which is my hometown. I also was a college athlete. I ran track in college, it's about 70 pounds ago, but you know, I did it. And I was a Division I athlete, and so I can always say that. But so I'm very I think servant leadership, when you're in this teaching, coaching, or anything in life, you can be a servant leader for one person, you could be a servant leader for 10,000 people. It's the same. So I appreciate your good work, and thank you for having me today. I'm thrilled to be here. As Coach Chelsea said, I just published my first book. It was just released to the world this past Tuesday, and she was one of the first ones to respond, which is really exciting, and I'm grateful for that very much. It's called Driven by Compassion: 8 Values for Successful Servant Leaders, and it's a book based on real life, everyday challenges and successes of being a servant leader and being a loving and compassionate leader, which goes with that. This type of leadership style is not about hugs and kisses. It focuses on living the 8 core values of leadership that lead to greater engagement and fulfillment in your job, career, and your personal life. It has to be all together. Servant leadership ensures that a leader's team members feel heard and valued, ultimately leading to higher levels of job performance and outstanding personal and organizational results. But see, most importantly, it is just, I believe, just the right thing to do to be as a successful servant leader, to treat people that way. And my new book, I hope, provides the knowledge leaders need to do 3 things. And that's kind of a theme of the book. It's to remember, first and foremost, why you became a leader. Okay, well, you know, not everybody can be a leader, but why did you become a leader? Second, to renew your vow to be a servant leader. And the third, refresh, you know, to be re-energized, to be re-enthusiastic about what you're doing when you lead people. So that's really that's the overall nature of the book. I will tell you that the eight values that I talk about in the book are patience is number one, second, trustful, third, being grudgeless. I think I kind of, I love that word. I hope I made it up, but I think not, unfortunately.
I like
That's being willing to forgive. Servant leadership, of course, is one of the values. Walking the talk, honesty, communication, and commitment. And those are the 8 values. And, you know, there's probably other values out there, but those are the ones that I focused on. I did a presentation yesterday, and somebody mentioned empowerment, where I put empowerment within the servant leadership part, because that is an important part of being a servant leader. So that gives you a quick introduction on that. I live in Estero, Florida. Like I said, my hometown's Cleveland, Ohio. I'm a retired hospital CEO. I left teaching only not because I didn't like it. It was because it was all financial, which is, you know I hate to say that. But I started as a bedside respiratory therapist making $5 an hour. And I'm one of the few people that actually committed. I felt like I had, from being a teacher and a coach, as Coach Chelsea knows, it never leaves you. Once you're a teacher or a coach, you're always a teacher or a coach. And that creates great leadership. And so I left that, got into healthcare, and then moved around. My whole career has been in the Midwest. I started, you know, hometown's Cleveland, went to Toledo, Kansas City, Louisville, back to rural Missouri. And then finished my career up in northern Michigan near Mackinac Bridge and in a place called Petoskey. And I was the CEO for that northern region for McLaren Healthcare. So I retired in January of 19 and decided that I wanted to do what I wanted to do in healthcare, you know, and I love leading people and I loved it, but I was just tired and decided that I wanted to coach and help others lead. And I wrote the book. I do some executive coaching as well for 3 hospital CEOs. I'm the CEO of a startup company here in Florida that's in the business of acquiring and managing assisted living and home health agencies. And I'm on an advisory board for a medical technology company and on a national board called SCORE, which helps support small businesses. And I'm very active in my church. We partner with an elementary school in inner city Fort Myers. And it's so rewarding what we're doing there. and we're going to build a facility there. So I'm very, very involved in that. So with that, Chelsea, would you like me to continue, or how would you like me to go?
Yeah, sure. You can definitely continue.
But, Chelsea mentioned when she did a great job of prepping me about how do you be, you know, everybody thinks they're a servant leader, and I'll give you a real short synopsis of my presentation, but I want to start with scripture that I know you've all heard. And first one, Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 to 28. It says, and you all know this, but I love reading it. I read it again last night in preparation for today. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many." And then, of course, the classic one is, this one is in my book, Mark chapter 9, verse 35. He sat down, called the 12 disciples over to him and said, "Whoever wants to be first must take last place and be the servant of everyone else." And so in my book and on page, I could pull it over here, it's quote that's quoted on page 101, where I said the ultimate of servant leadership was Jesus Christ. On the night before he was crucified and died, he washed the feet of his disciples. Jesus said, "Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all." So that really provides the, and I'm so delighted the way Coach Chelsea does this show and the theme behind it about the faithful foundation we could have as servant leaders, because you can't be a servant leader, I guess in my perspective, without having that faith-based foundation. I guess you could do it, but I don't know how successful you will be. So proud to talk about that. I can certainly talk about that some more, but let me give you a quick overview of the values so that you have that, and then we can certainly dive into dialogue,
yes, sir,
which I'd love to do. A couple things. First, about the difference between empathy and compassion. Empathy equals feelings for others, which, I mean, I feel bad for what you're going through. I feel bad you had a death in the family. I feel bad you're ill. Compassion, love and compassion equals action. So compassion can also be defined as to feel with. Now, why do I tell you that? Because the key to leading with love and compassion as a servant leader is action. Essentially, is how do you treat others? Okay. And there's so many great examples of that. You know, when I was in the hospital, there were things going on all the time for our employees, and bake sales for employees and meals and things like that. In my own neighborhood community where I live, we've had some tragic deaths, and we've supported their family. So there's all these things are you know, compassion is action. It's not just what's saying it. And then, you know, servant leadership, as I mentioned earlier, it's just the right thing to do. I believe that employees, and I'm going to call them colleagues from now on, okay? So when I say colleagues, that means employees. Colleagues want more from their leaders, because there is a real or perceived crisis in leadership. I mean, we see it every single day. Every day we're bombarded with it. Love and compassion is a method to lead that respects colleagues and may lead to second and sometimes third chances for his people. Isn't that what we're about? Giving people second and third chances. And I'm very proud to say that I did that. Now, that doesn't mean they always work, and you have to be prepared to fail. And I did fail, but I feel better about I'll, if I have time, I could share a couple of those stories with you on that. And then love and compassion does demand accountability, which supports and grows a healthy bottom line. And so it's, you know, we're looking, you know, I know all of you have been reading about the great resignation and the quiet slowdown and all these things that are out there. And I just think that if we, maybe this could be stopped or slowed down significantly if we had servant leaders who really were focused on the success of the people they lead by providing them the resources they need to be successful. And that's clearly the issue here. You know, one of the things the last comment for the values is that one of my leaders I really think a lot of, his name is Joel Manby. He was the CEO of Hirshon Family Entertainment Enterprises, which is the, I believe Dollywood's in that, Silver Dollar City in Branson, Missouri, and all kinds of parks in the Southeast country. And one of the things he said was, you know, sacrificing values for profits is a flawed choice. And one of the reasons, from personal perspective, that I left being a CEO of a hospital in a big system was that all our entire focus was on the operating margin. That's all it was. And I didn't get into healthcare. I got into healthcare to help people. And I know that sounds, you know, altruistic maybe, but that's why almost everybody gets into healthcare to help people. Just like teachers and coaches get into the profession to help young people. And I knew I had to make money, and that was important. And I certainly recognize that, but we were forgetting the needs of the community. And I, for example, needed to hire an endocrinologist. And these are docs that take care of diabetes. And, you know, diabetes is a huge healthcare problem in our country, chronic disease. And I couldn't do it, because if I'd spent the money to hire that physician, that was a big negative in the operating margin. And my people above me, a corporate, said, no way. I can't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the reasons. And, you know, again, we all have to generate a margin to sustain our businesses. Nobody's saying you don't. Okay. But there, you can still do it in the right way. All right. The eight values very quickly. Okay. First one is patience. And this is being able to master the ability to publicly and actively exhibit self-control in challenging, intense situations. So I ask all of the, I'll go through them all first and I'll come back. Trustful. It's encouraging those you lead with support and belief in their talents and skills. The third one is honesty and integrity. And that's being open and truthful with every person you lead, which includes appropriate communication about the organization. Grudgeless, which I love that word. That means being willing to forgive. The fifth one is servant leadership. And we just talked about that. Be willing to facilitate the success of those you lead. The sixth one is walking the talk, to live and breathe love and compassion in your daily work and personal life. And I'll just throw a little editorial comment. One of the things that just drives me crazy every day is when I see leaders that won't walk the talk. Okay, you can't be a successful leader unless you can walk the talk. I mean, a simple thing like, okay, if you expect people to be on time for your meeting and you're regularly late, okay, that's a simple thing, but right? I mean, we've all seen it.
Yep.
I can tell you, in one organization I was in, we did a customer service project, big thing in all the hospitals. But the corporate leaders weren't going to do it. They didn't care about it. They just didn't care. So guess what? You know what happened to that project? What do you think? It failed. And it failed miserably because everybody knew the top leaders weren't walking the talk and being supportive. Seventh one is communication. I have some comments on that, to practice consistent and regular communication tactics, which includes encouragement and honest feedback. And one of the things I did as a CEO, which I thought was kind of cool, was I would send a daily email to all of the employee or colleagues, and I was leveraging technology with that. But I knew a lot of them anyway, but I did it. And one of the things I put in there, I put it in, and it took 30 seconds to read it. An inspirational quote, a little bit of a win, some kind of win that's occurring in the organization, maybe a little bit of news. And the last thing I finished it with, are you ready? A corny joke. And I mean a real corny joke. You remember, y'all remember the show Hee Haw? Yeah, a lot of you are probably too young. I'm old guy.
But
that was the king of corny jokes. And so here's the interesting thing about it. I would have people sending me quotes to put on there and corny jokes. And I would say submitted by Joe Smith or submitted by, people loved it. They loved it. And days that I wasn't able to do it, I did it in the morning. And when I couldn't do it for, I had schedule issues, I had people email me saying, where's our quote today? Where's our corny joke? And so many people said it made a difference in their day. So you never know as a servant leader how you're going to make a difference for somebody. And finally, commitment is the last one. And that means staying dedicated to your values, regardless of the circumstances. Leaders today are just bombarded constantly with those type of things.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Patience, again, you know, as I mentioned, one of the things, I'll give you a quick story where I lost my patience and admonished someone publicly. It was horrible. It was a cardiac surgeon. And I was in a meeting with cardiologists and cardiac surgeons, and we were talking about their favorite topic, their contract. Well, those are never fun discussions when you're discussing contracts with physicians or anybody for that matter. And he said some things that really were, it was so tense in there. And I just flew off the handle at him. I cursed at him. It was horrible. I was one of the worst things I've ever done in my career. And I obviously mea culpa him numerous times and apologized to him and the group. But again, you know, that was a time where I lost my patience and I admonished someone publicly. Don't be patient with poor performance, respond patiently. Okay.
Yes.
On patient praise, make sure it's legitimate and it's pointed. Praise three times more than admonishing. On trust, what do you think the number one sign of distrust is? And everybody says, oh, a lot of things. It is listening. If you're not listening intently to what somebody has to say, that they're going to feel that you don't trust them. And, you know, that's an easy one, or it's not that easy. I mean, I know there are times I would go into a meeting and I have my mind made up, as bad as that is. As soon as I heard feedback from my team, I did change my mind. And, you know, one of the things about that is that, you know, the people that are talking, they know you're not listening. They'll think, well, you don't trust what I have to say. Your idea is greater than mine, so I don't have to listen. So difficult things. So make sure you listen intently. Honesty and integrity is obviously common. I mean, everybody, integrities are the thing we have. You know, everything we have is integrity and morals and values. And so don't ever let that get away from you. And the need for honesty, there's challenges with that. And the first one is egos, of course. Gee, we don't have egos in our world. But if you have an ego and you think, well, it's a perceived weakness. And when you are honest and you don't, and so a lot of times people won't tell the truth because they don't want to be perceived as weak. And that's not the mark of a real servant leader. And believe me, I think everyone in this audience knows that, has seen that, has been frustrated with that. And it's also important that in terms of your honesty, that, you know, tell the truth. And I know that sounds simple, but I'm telling you folks, it just doesn't happen every day for a variety. And we see it every day. Honest, being grudgeless, a couple things I'll read to you. From Jeff Henderson, a pastor in Atlanta Buckhead Church, says that the longer you hold the grudge, the longer the grudge has a hold on you.
Ooh.
Okay. The longer you hold the grudge, and then what happens to us doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is how we respond. And I've done it, that we have grudges and we're holding grudges against people in our professional life and in our personal life. And both of those will eat away at you and affect how you respond as a servant leader. One of the stories on forgiveness I will tell you real quick is that I mentioned a story at the hospital I led in Missouri. We had a nurse who was in the post-op area that was stealing drugs. Okay. It wasn't her first time. And we were going to fire her, but she asked to talk to me. And what I did, one of my philosophies was, is, and I, and a lot of my colleagues didn't like me doing this, but I did it anyway, was that if somebody wanted to talk to me, I would talk to them. Okay. I would always talk to them. So she came in and she, I said, you know, you're going to be terminated. She says, yes, but I want you, I want to say something to you. I promise you that I'll never do that again. I have to have this job for my family and I'll get the help I need. Now everybody says that, okay, when they're confronted with being fired. But I had to make a decision as a servant leader at that point. Do I believe her? So I looked at her and I said, you know, I'm going to give you that second chance because you came to talk to me about it. I said, but as you know, you can't have any other therapy. This is it. And this was 15 years ago. And as far as I know, to this day, she's clean.
Wow.
It's a great story. And now that's a great story. Now I got another one with a housekeeper who we were going to fire. She came to talk to me. And of course, my servant leader says she was living under a bridge. Okay. Brought her in, says it. So, but we had to fire her later because she came back in, didn't take advantage of the opportunity and wasn't doing her job. So it happens. You have to be willing to take the risk. You know, I would, as a servant leader, I would rather be known for being slow to forgive than quick to fire. Slow to forgive and quick to fire. And what does forgiveness have to do with being a successful leader? Well, it shows you're human. It shows you care for other people. And it has a positive ripple effect throughout the organization. Because believe me, people talk, okay? And they hear that you were willing to give somebody another chance. And that is beyond belief how the positivity from that. And here's one last one on forgiveness. Resentment is like taking poison and waiting for the other person to die. So, and think about that in your personal life as well. Servant leadership, you have to make it in terms of servant leadership, you have to make a decision to be unselfish. Think about this, okay? How many leaders that you can think of in your life's experiences were selfish? I think we all can probably name some, all right? And you could, and the funny thing is these leaders that are selfish think that people can't figure that out, which is really beyond me. People are smart, okay? People are good people. They want the right things. And so, you know, you have to be committed to being unselfish. You have to be committed to the glory going to the people that you lead, okay? You have to be committed to providing them the resources to do their job to be successful. You know, on the board that I'm on, this national scoreboard, you know, one of my things that I've told the CEO, we just did a review the other day, said, you know, we have a job to do with you and to provide the resources you need to be wildly successful. And that's our job. And, you know, if you're the people you lead are successful, then you'll be successful and your organization will be successful. And the other thing is, it's fun. It's great to see people succeeding. It's great to see people enjoying their job. It's great to see them wanting to do more for the company, even for themselves. And so it has to be an organizational commitment to servant leadership. And of course, that always starts at the top. That's walking the talk. Oh, and as I said, it always starts at the top. You have to practice regular and consistent communication that includes encouragement and feedback. So I have a question for all of you. When was the last time you had too much encouragement in your life?
I don't think ever.
I don't think ever. And that's the thing. People want to be encouraged. Okay. I know that sounds hokey maybe, but they do. And obviously I've been in the healthcare world, but this is applicable to all leadership is leadership, as we said earlier, you know, and, you know, even physicians who think this stuff is hokey, like it when you talk to them one-on-one, okay, they like it. So it's really important. And one of the things that a great example was is a CEO that I know leads a hospital system in the Northwest. And he, during a pandemic, started a program called In Your Shoes. And what he did was they went out, the senior executives, and went out and worked in their shoes and did their job for a shift. Like he, for example, was a housekeeper in the emergency room. And you know how hard that is to be a housekeeper in the emergency room? To turn over those beds, all that stuff in the rooms. And these people are so important. One of the things I always did when I was out and about was when I saw the housekeepers I would say thanking them. Thanks for that good work you're doing in that room. Thank you for cleaning that room so somebody else can get in there. It's such a huge support for the nurses. You know, there's a new name for being a CEO. Okay. It's called, you know, it's CEO stands for Chief Executive Officer. Well, I will say that the CEO should be the Chief Encouragement Officer.
I like that.
And we each one of us are chief encouragement officers for ourselves, for the people we lead, whether it's two people or it's 1,000 people or 10,000 people. We are are that. On communication, I mentioned already about the daily emails. I'm going to encourage one other thing, two things. One, please get to know your employees, as many as you can. And that doesn't mean prying into their personal life. That means getting to know them. So to them, if you know that they've had an illness in the family, or you know that they've had some kind of an accomplishment. I mean, one of the things I loved, I'm going to follow Coach Chelsea's team this season, if she'll let me, because I'm going to follow it because I'm interested. You know, I want to see other. I want to say to her, I'm going to send her a note and say, congratulations, I'm winning a state championship. Congratulations on winning your conference. But you know, it's I had my chief nursing officer son was a star athlete at the local high school. I follow him and I talk to her every Monday morning during football season, how he did. I had a director who had a five-year-old who had leukemia. And I would, every time I saw her, I would ask how he was doing. And you could tell when you asked, she was beaming. She would just say, oh, thank you for thinking of him. Thank you for praying for him. Thank you for talking about him. It's a simple thing to do. Handwritten thank you notes, probably all of you are doing that. It's not a new thing, but it's really that the people love them. They love them. Send it to their homes, okay? Don't hand it. We can hand it to them, I guess, but send it to their homes. I will tell you that two things employees would tell me. One, they would put them on their refrigerator at home, like you put your kids' stuff on the refrigerator. And a lot of times the wife, spouse or will open the note and will say, wow, look at this note. Who's this from? And then also they would put, some of them would hang them up at their workspace. I used to walk around and see people's workspace and they had all these thank you notes on their board. So they're very proud of that. And don't let that go and send it to their home. Make sure you acknowledge people when you see them. 10-5 rule, 10 feet, you say, you acknowledge them by connecting with your eyes and a smile. 5 feet, you say hello, keep your head up. When my granddaughter has she's 4 years old and she has spinal muscular atrophy, and it's a pretty serious illness, disease. So we were at Wash U in St. Louis 4 years ago when she's first getting diagnosed. And we were walking down the hallway, you know, we were worried. And you know what? Not a single person said hello to us. Not a single person. And I was stunned by that. Here we are. I mean, people were walking with their heads down. They looked angry. They looked tired. This is a children's hospital.
Right.
But it should be that way everywhere. Mm-hmm. Everywhere. And, you know, I'll never forget that. I would be walking down the hallways in my organization, deep in thought, angry about something probably. And my head was down. And I used to have employees saying, Mr. Zechman, eyes up. Loved it. I look at them and say, thank you. And I that made me laugh and made me get back to where I needed to be. So there's lots of things with communication, but it's got to be consistent. It has to be regular. And finally, being committed. Okay. That's the word says it all. You have to stay dedicated to your values, no matter what the circumstance. And I will also challenge you to that make sure that in your personal life, your values are aligned in your personal life and your work life. You know, when you're going to, you obviously have values when you go to church. Okay. Well, you know, same values hold true when you're at work, same values hold true at your kids' school functions, same values hold true when you're at the club, same values hold true when you're in Walmart, all these values. And so, I've never seen a person, I've never seen a successful servant leader be three different people.
Come on.
Yeah. It just doesn't work. And this is, if you want to change our world to be a better place, you know, that's one of the ways to do it. So that's a quick summary. The book includes, thank you for listening to me on that. The book includes a lot of real life stories, not just mine, as I mentioned, but I interviewed 30 leaders from big time CEOs to supervisors. And one of my athletes that I coached at Brookside High School in Cleveland, Ohio, who was one of my captains. And he was an African-American young man. And I say it because he was in a school that was almost all white. And I've always said to him, I said, my gosh, you count for so much in a tough, tough situation. When he was inducted into the Hall of Fame, I was his presenter there. And I mentioned that. And that's the one thing he loved about what I said when I praised the fact that he overcame some tough obstacles there to be as successful as he was both in athletics and in life. And he's got very, very proud of it. So I asked him, so I've included him in there as well. So, and he's real thrilled with that. Now he's telling everybody to go buy the book. Yes, and he tells him what page he's quoted on. So I love it. you gotta love it. Anyway, so that's my story. And I'm passionate about it. I this is how I led. I'm not a perfect person. I made mistakes. You'll see in the book that I talk about my mistakes. I talk about what I could have done differently. I talk about some of the good things that we've done together. And that's my story. And I'm happy to chat some more with Chelsea and answer any other questions.
For sure. And I thank you for that, because I'm telling you right now, I'm definitely going to be having my hands on that book too, because one of the things that, you know, I love about this platform and speaking with individuals like yourself is we always talk about the way people should lead or what they should be doing, right? But I always said this early when we first started this, and coaches and leaders, and we get together, we say, well, who actually sat down and gave the blueprint for what that looked like? And I love how when you and I chatted back and forth to get this thing, you know, scheduled, you were like, Jesus Christ was the ultimate servant leader. And that's the blueprint, right?
Ultimate.
That's the blueprint. And so to be able, I love how you said this, you said, we have to make sure that the values that we are exhibiting, that we're exhibiting those in every aspect of our life. I've never seen a successful servant leader be three separate people.
No,
but unfortunately, we see that often.
We do, and it is unfortunate. And I think that decreases their credibility, in all those places. And you know, you can't be going to church on Sundays and being saying you're a faithful person, and then go in the office the next day and treat people ruthlessly and not caring for them. Maybe I'm wrong, but I just don't see it. I don't know how you can do that. So when we talked about Jesus as being the ultimate servant leader, his actions did it. But there's another thing he did incredibly well, obviously better than anybody else, was that he could tell stories, and he told parables, as you all know, about, you know, how you handle this or how you handle that. And, you know, that's how he kept, one of the ways he kept people engaged, you know, was to tell stories. And, you know, we should do more of that. Personal stories, stories you read in books, journals and things like that, that get you where you are today.
No, I agree. You know, there's a scripture that says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Right.
Yes.
And I love that, because I feel that those stories, people always hear me talk about this, and I say it often. And even in my daily life, I used to be one of the individuals, and you know this to be true, you spoke about this transparency and leadership and telling those stories and those mistakes in the book. And so often, you know, when we lead in every facet, it's those mistakes that allow us to give people grace, but it's also those mistakes and those fall from grace that we're able to share those testimonies with individuals that help them see the God in us.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Right? And so even then, the young lady you spoke of in the first story, her watching you forgive, her watching you give grace led to an amazing transformation in her life. And isn't that how Christ does? He doesn't give just one chance. Right. He gives multiple chances and over, right? I said earlier in this video I posted this morning for motivation, I said, you know, the scripture says he doesn't treat us as our sins would allow. And I'm so thankful that he's not like man.
No, I am too, believe me. Well, I also talked a little bit there. I mean, you mentioned the second chances. You know, there are times you give third chances.
Right.
I don't discount that. But, you know, every situation is different. And that's the other thing about being a successful servant leader. I mean, you need to be flexible and understanding. And again, in the beginning, I talked about empathy and the difference between empathy and compassion. They're both very, very important. I mean, you could have empathy for somebody, but compassion is where you really it's action oriented. And that's where you need both. And we certainly, there's a, you know, like for example, in your world, coach, you sound like a very strong Christian woman. You know, if you were sitting on the bench in a game cursing and admonishing your players, well, what are they going to think? Are you a real servant leader? I mean, I'm amazed at some of these coaches that are out there that just the profanity and practice and games, just as like, it's hard for me to justify if you're truly a servant leader. But, you know, again, that's something they have to live with. That's a decision they have to make on their own morals and values. So.
No, that's for sure. And that's one of the things, and you said it best in the opening, you said, as I am steering these young ladies for life. Yes. I tell them all the time, basketball is the tool, right? That's the navigational tool that we're using. But for me to make sure, my mom used to say, when I clip those wings, you all are going to be able to fly. She would always say that. And so when you all graduate from here, when I'm watching you, I've gotten to the place now where I have college graduates, right? And they come back, you know, for our basketball type homecoming and watching what they do. But one of the biggest things, even if they didn't understand it while they were under my protection and under my responsibility, they get it now. And that's one of the biggest things they say, I get it now, coach. You know, this adult life is not for the faint of heart. I'm like, no, it's not. But I just know one of the things, Dr. Brittany Zell, I love her. She's my sister. She's a mentor. And one of the things, she was a longtime coach. Now she is a CEO for Keller Williams. But she would say, if you want them to be a woman, they have to see a woman.
Yeah. Oh, great.
And she further moves and says, if you want people to understand and be Christians, they got to see a Christian. And in that, that is how I live my life on a daily basis. And that's true servant leadership. You know, we hear coaches, they have a title, recruiting coordinator. And I tell people I'm recruiting coordinator for Christ. And if I'm doing that, what are we supposed to do? When that coaches for the football team, everything, I see the coaches, they walk on and off the campus, right? They have their little emblem on their shirt, you know, UConn, and Florida, UCF, we're down here in Florida, FAMU, Florida State. And we automatically know by the image who they represent.
Right.
And so I shouldn't have to have a logo or anything, but by my light, like the word says, let your light so shine so that men and women can see, you know, his good works. All right. The works that we're doing, but it's his to glorify him in heaven. And when we can do that, whether we are a CEO in a healthcare organization, whether we're an author, whether we're a coach, whatever we're doing, it's for the glory of him. And I love how you so eloquently explain that, not only your book, but just in how you live your day to day.
Yeah, you said it very, very well and very eloquently. It's not easy. It's not easy to be a strong Christian in this world we live in, and especially when you're a leader. And I'll give you another quick story on this as an example. This just happened a couple of weeks ago with the same granddaughter who has SMA, and they live in Arkansas, and she's supposed to have a pretty intense surgery scheduled a couple of weeks ago to released a tendon on her hip and her hamstrings, so at least she could be in a stand or to feel the sensation of standing. And they canceled the surgery all of a sudden Tuesday before Friday, and this was scheduled for weeks. I prayed that God would instill servant leadership into the leaders of that organization. And you know, usually people double down and don't respond. Well, the neurologist who runs the clinic that she goes to stepped in and pulled the docs together, and they changed their mind. Well, where do you think that came from? Mm-hmm. Number one is from his servant leadership to do the right thing. And second, from God. Exactly. And led those people to do the right thing, because she couldn't wait another 6 weeks. That's what they wanted to do. So, I mean, it's out there. There are good people out there that are inspired by Christ as a servant leader, and they're there. We got to find them. We got to keep them going. We have encouraged leaders to be this way, because again, like I said earlier, I'll say the third time, it's the right thing to do. And I think, you know, with God's help and his support, it can happen. There's no question.
I totally agree. And I think more than anything, you said it best. It's amazing how, when we always say the tagline is hoping in this platform that we learn to infiltrate not only the sports world, but every aspect where we lead, you know, much like you said, and everyone on campus, the way that it's said, when people meet me that may not have, they'll say, it's something different about you. That's what that sounds like, right?
I love it. That are listening, I love it. Yeah.
If you don't know, that's what it sounds like. Somebody may have told you, it's just something about you. I don't know what it is. Or you may not have ever spoken to this person beyond a hello. And then they start just kind of coming around, talking to you and divulging information, right? It may look like that. And so just like that doctor that you spoke of, we have to be able to be in rooms where we may stand, but have to stand alone, right? Because we know, yes, the right thing is always right, the right thing. That's being a servant leader, that the right thing, I don't care if I said, there's a quote that says, one on God's side is always the majority. And sometimes standing alone, it does feel lonely. It feels lonely, it looks lonely. But when you have God on your side, you will always have the majority, because when you do what's right, he will always lead you forward.
Yeah. Well, I love what you said. You know, what's right is right. And no matter what. And I think, again, employees see that. I mean, they get it. I mean, they get it. And they know that you're supportive of them. They know that you're going to treat them with compassion and love. And again, like I said, it's not hugs and kisses. And it doesn't mean you're a weak leader. In fact, to the contrary, it makes you a stronger leader. Mm-hmm. And it is a way. And again, you still hold them accountable. You still have those honest conversations. And sometimes you have to make hard decisions related to that. But if you do it faithfully and with compassion, and you know, we always talk about, you know, one of the things I didn't go over today, but it's in the book, you know, the dreaded firing. Okay, when you have to fire somebody, mm-hmm. and you know, again, it's having compassion and for that person at the time to do it, and no matter what the reason, okay? Because their whole life is upended, okay? Totally upended. Of course, it's even worse when you have to lay off people, when you're laying people off because not because they did anything wrong. In fact, they may be doing a great job, but you have to eliminate positions. And those were so hard, and I've done those. And it you have to pray. If you pray and you pray, you can, you sit there and you can, you know, if you have empathy and you show compassion and you try to help them with it. I interviewed a CEO of a company that I do a little bit of part-time work for, and I've known him since the company started. And it's a consulting company out of Pittsburgh. And they have a philosophy when they terminate somebody that they give them 6 weeks of time beyond severance to look for another job while they're still working.
Wow.
And but here's the interesting about that, just to tell you that they've been named one of the top 50 healthcare employers in the country for a long time, and they're always in the top in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. You know, again, that's her leadership style, and that's what she does. And as she's the CEO, so it's out there. People, you can do it, and it's the right thing to do. Again, as I said,
you know, I think that's amazing. I think one of the biggest things, and you said it best, I'm going to go back to this, and recognizing the attributes of the servant leader and making sure that, you know, no matter what room we walk into, those values still stand true, mm-hmm. right? Those values mm-hmm. don't change because your setting changes. And right. I love that. And, you know, the facts that you were describing by other people within your experiences, but I love how you have been an athlete, have been a coach, have been a CEO, have, you know, as a speaker and author, all of these different facets, and the values hold true. We know, and you, and I know it's been a while, as you said earlier, but we know and knew what it meant to train and prepare, right, for the race. I was talking to a rookie of ours. She's just a freshman year, and we're doing workouts. And I looked at her and I said, I don't care if 50 people are running with you. You know how you're supposed to run this race. And it's funny how God works in my own life as I try to instruct other people. He's like, oh, did you tell them that now? So do you remember what you said? Just remember that, you know. And I said that to her again. I said, I don't care how many young ladies are out here on this track. I think it was about 20 that day. I said, you have to run your race. And right. So when I think about that as being a servant leader, as an athlete, this is twofold. One, it doesn't matter what anyone else is doing around us. We as servant leaders and as Christians have to remember to run the race that he's assigned for us, right? But we have to prepare to be able to run that race. And we know as athletes, the preparation that it took to do that. But there's a preparation spiritually that we have to do to be able to stand. Can you talk to us a little bit about how you stay spiritually fit with all that you have going on? How do you stay grounded? What does it look like for you to, whether it's devotions or how does that look for you to stay sharpened to sharpen others?
Well, great question. Thanks. I wish I would read the Bible more than I do, but I do. Okay. I attend a men's Bible study at 6:30 a.m.
Oh, nice.
And it's a half hour wait. But I'll tell you this about those guys. Those guys are so smart and committed. And I learned just by watching them, and they're all older than me and I'm an old guy. So yes, I do the Bible study piece. I do go to a church, as I mentioned earlier. I'm trying to be more active. You know, I believe I'm a big believer in local mission work. I've done a little bit of mission work overseas in my past, which was very rewarding, but I think we need to take care of our community. And so I'm very involved with that in terms of this elementary school we partner with, where all those kids there, most of them don't speak English. They're from Central America. They don't have food all the time. Every weekend. So we certainly as a church send them food so they can go home in the weekend and have food to eat in the weekends. They don't have it during then. So, I pray every day, you know, and I pray not just at a simple, I don't pray it just at a designated time. I do more of the short prayers. I pray before this today, say, okay, please help me do the best I can.
Those are powerful.
And then, well, I'll thank God today when we're done. I'll just say, hey, thanks for being with me. Thanks first. It's your words, not mine. Okay. That's a thing I have to do. Just remember. And so I do a lot of the little prayers during the day. I'll say, hey, thanks for taking care. Like, you know, after my granddaughter's surgery 2 weeks ago, I right away when I got the word, I said, thanks God for keeping her safe and being with that surgeon and guiding that surgeon's hands. And, so those are the types of things that I try to stay grounded with. Unfortunately, I'm a very competitive person, and that kind of one of the things I'm not. You laugh, I know. One of the things that one of my my wife will tell you this. One of my weaknesses is I can be overly competitive, and then I'm not a nice person, and so I have to work hard on that, you know, with God's help, not to be so difficult in those situations. So that's how I try to stay grounded. I don't read a lot of things that are not faith-based. One of the things in my industry that I missed in being in healthcare was that I never had the opportunity. Yeah, I did once, but it really was the opportunity to work in a faith-based organization, because I feel like especially in healthcare, but it's true of all industries. You know, we're there to help people. We're not there to make money for ourselves. Although, yes, we get paid a good salary, and yes, we have to work. But I just felt it's important to have that grounding, and that's why I love faith-based organizations, because you know you go there. I'll give you another quick story on the faith part. My last year at my recent job, you know, things are pretty tough. It was really hard, and we were working really hard. So I decided to have, and I was very close to the chaplains, okay, because I felt they just are so important for not just for the patients and their family members, but for the employees. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so I asked the chaplain to come and pray for us at the start of our monthly leadership meeting. And everybody loved it. But I had one person who was very upset about that. And this person was Jewish, which is, I don't see the difference because it's faith is faith. And so he actually, interesting, for a variety of reasons, he sued us because we terminated him. And one of the things he, in his lawsuit, which got thrown out, was I made him, I forced him to pray. so here's the grand, okay, that's it. But the gratifying part about that was the fact that I had so many people send me a note and say, wow, I just, this is so important. I love this. This is a way for me to get myself grounded again. And so what I did was, what I did as a servant, you know, to be adaptable. So I said to everybody, okay, you know what? Okay, nobody's forcing me to pray, but so we'll have the prayer 10 minutes before the meeting. Okay. And if you want to come, come. Well, guess what? Everybody came.
Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, people say, well, you forced them to do it. No, I didn't force them to do it. I said, it was totally voluntary. I said, if you come in at start time, come in at start time. It's up to you. So, I mean, that kind of thing, is so important. I think more people appreciate that as part of servant leadership than not. And you're always going to have the naysayers, but you just deal with the naysayers. But, you know, it's important to have that faith grounding and understanding. And also, again, like we said earlier, you can't be a true servant leader without that. You just can't.
I think that's so true. And I love how you put that. I want to go back really quickly to when you talked about praying throughout the day, right? I think it's amazing, right? You know, I laugh because I associate it with when nutritionists and doctors and everybody and trainers, they'll tell you it's better to eat small meals throughout the day as opposed to having these big, big meals, you know? And that's kind of how I love the way you pinpointed our prayer life. And that's how we should be throughout the day. That's how I'm kept the day, you know, when it's like, you know, especially, and you know, this to be true when you taught and it's challenging and you get this message, things are going great. You get an email and this is challenging and all of these things are going on. So it's so amazing how you did that, which is not a bad thing because the Lord is walking through us and with us all day and we can acknowledge him. He's not this thing. I tell people all the time, he's not something that we could just tap into and he'll get back with us. He's one of the very few and only, right? Yeah. That no matter when we come into him, no matter how many times,
he's always there.
All of us at the same time, he is always there. Right. Whether the old people say his line is never busy.
Well, and by the way, and there's no circle back in his category, in his conversation where he'll say, I'll circle back with you. You know, I love what you said. I mean, he's always there. And again, it's just, you can't be a servant leader without it. And the thing about it too, Chelsea, is that, you know, being a servant leader is actually quite fun. It's enjoyable.
I agree.
I mean, you know, the world is so stressed right now for a variety of reasons. And, you know, we can make it better by being a servant leader. It's more enjoyable for ourselves. For one, it's good for our heart. It's good for our health. And plus it helps other people feel better. I think I mentioned earlier about the 10-5 rule. I mean, you just don't know. Everybody has a story. That's a thing. And that's why it's important as a servant leader to know as many people as you can, again, without prying into personal life. But you know, there are certain things you hear, certain things that you could talk to them about. And it's important to do that. And I one time, I mean, this isn't bragging about me, but my wife was walking with me down the halls once in a house I served in, and people were all saying hello to me and calling me my first name, which is what I want them to do. I mean, I'm not, and as a servant leader, and she looked at me, she said, I'm amazed that all these people know who you are and that you say hello to them. And I said, well, why wouldn't I? I mean, I think that's part of my job. You can't be a CEO/servant leader unless you talk to people, you know, and I know many that don't, and build relationships. And then she told me, she said, you know, she worked at a hospital in Cleveland. And she said, I never even knew who the CEO was. And I one time he walked by me in the hallway, he never said a word to me. She said, I saw him as a name tag. So, I mean, those kind of things stick in your mind, and servant leaders acknowledge, servant leaders encourage, servant leaders support.
Yes.
And support, and it doesn't necessarily mean that you're giving them a raise. It could be, but giving them a raise or this or that. So sometimes it's just saying, hello, how are you today? And be genuine about it. Don't say, hey, how you doing? And then keep walking. Okay. And that's why I said something about patient praise, you know, and I know you do this as a coach, you know, make sure your praise is specific. Okay. Specific on something like, you know, man, you really played, you know, you did a great job tonight because you shut down that their leading scorer and held them to our target. Or so that's one example in your world. And then, you know, the other one is, you know, I know leaders that will walk in and say, all they do is walk and say, how you doing? You're doing a good job. You're doing a good job. Well, people hear that and they go, that doesn't mean anything to me. Mm-hmm. And servant leaders, as I said, you have to walk in their shoes a little bit. One of the things that I had a lot of fun with one day is I walked into the laundry. Okay. Usually the laundry's in the bowels, you know, of the hospital. And these are good, dedicated ladies and men that work in there, and they're fun people. So I would go in there, and they said, "Mr. Zuckman," he said, "you know, do you know how to fold linen here?" I said, "Oh God, no, no." And they said, "Well, here, come on over here, and why don't you do a little bit with us?" I said, "Great, let's go." And oh, it was horrible. I did a horrible job, but but the work that they do is so good and so meaningful and so loving. And it was such a wonderful, it was so much fun, and they were laughing at me. And I said, I can't do this. I'm just not good at it like you guys are. And then they showed me the bulletin board, and they showed me, all the jokes that I've sent out, and they put them up on the board. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, those are the gratifying things to me, you know, just those are the fun stuff that keep you coming back.
I totally agree with that. And I think one of the things that we often forget is that Jesus was the same way.
Yeah.
Right? He did not discriminate on who he talked to, sat with, right? And mm-hmm. when we can do that, that is the mark of the true servant leader. The one that says, absolutely. Wow, I truly do now see the Christ in you, right? You know, and just like the scriptures you gave to start out, you know, we knew full well, and it is a post that I always see during Resurrection Sunday, Easter, whichever you call. And it always says, you know, we think about when people ask you have 24 hours left to live, how would you spend it? And it said, Jesus knew he had 24 hours left to live, and he chose to serve. And that just knocks and blows me away every time I read it.
Yeah, he knew, and that was, but he knew for a long time, as you know, as prophesied in scripture, but he knew, and to think that he knew he was going to undergo that horrible death is just, it is beyond belief, but he did it because he was the ultimate servant leader, because he was doing it for us.
Yep.
And to this day, it's just hard, it's hard to fathom that sacrifice that went through. And so as leaders, we sacrifice many, many things, you know, it's not a crucifixion, but there's so many things that we can do to help these, whether it's young people or older people or people that are not well or whatever in our business. And, you know, it's a win-win for everybody. So it, like I said earlier, it's kind of fun. I mean, I had one hospital, I had two doors in my office. Okay. And one of them was to the outer hallway, which was on the way to the cafeteria. And then, you know, then the other one office was in the C-suite. And there are many times I decided I'm just going to open this door to the hallway and see what happens. And you know, people would love that. They would come by and they knock and they poke their head in the door and say, how you doing? And they know I'm an Ohio State fan. So they were always, you know, they want to talk to me about the Buckeyes and anything that was on their mind, you know, they would come in. And you know what? I never got people complaining. I know you think, you know, people are, sometimes leaders are afraid that when they talk, to people that all you're going to get is complaints and that they can't answer the question. Well, if you can't answer the question, you can't answer the question. You just say, you know, look, let me go back and talk to the appropriate person. And you got to always circle back and give them, you have to go back and give them the answer so that, you know, when you follow up, it's important. But, you know, guys come in my Michigan job where my door was always open unless I was in a meeting. I didn't want to interrupt people's meetings because their time's valuable too. And people, they just walk through, they're walking to administration and they knock and put their head in the door and say, we had a lot of fun with when Ohio State played Michigan or Michigan State. And it was, and other things, they would just say, hey, did you hear about this? Or can I tell you something? And, you know, those are the fun conversations. And so that's just a simple thing it's interesting because there are a number of leaders out there that don't have access to their employees, which is incredible to me. I don't know how you can do that, but they do. You know, either the offices are locked and you have to punch in a punch bag, you got to call in. I don't know how you can be successful that way. And I was at a national meeting last week and I heard it again from, I said, how do you do that? I just, you know, being a leader also means developing relationships.
Come on. Yep.
You have to, you know, your job is to develop relationships. That's one of the reasons, unfortunately, I'm IT illiterate because I had people doing it for me and everybody said, oh, you have people doing it for you. Well, I did because I didn't want to spend time sitting in front of a computer just banging out numbers when I was trying to develop relationships and ensure that everything was going well in our organization. That's what I believed. I'm paying a price for that today because I hate it, but I'm terrible. I'm just terrible. I ask the Lord to give me patience all the time. And maybe the Lord just saying, well, I don't know. You're probably a lost cause, but on the IT things. But that's just part of it.
I think that's so awesome too. And relationships are definitely there because again, at the end of the day, that's what he wants us to have with him. Relationship, yeah. Right?
Relationship, yep.
You know?
That's always stuck with me about that God is always disappointed when we don't talk. God will always talk, right? I mean, he's disappointed when we don't reach out and talk to God. And I thought, and like you said, he's always there. You know, it isn't like, you know, we're leaving voicemails or texts or emails. He's always there. And yet we're the ones that don't reach out to him. And I dare say that I think, you know, leaders could be even more effective leaders if they utilize the strength of God and they utilize his support as you do your work with people. And we just need to model that. That's all.
I love it. David, do me a favor. Can you let everybody know where they can find your book? I'm telling you right now, like you guys, if there were ever a blueprint outside of the word, this is it. Please tell them where they can find this book.
Oh, thank you for that. I appreciate it. It's on, you can go to Amazon. You can go to Barnes & Noble. Okay. You can go to Amplify Publishing. And I'll repeat the name again. It's called Driven by Compassion, 8 Values for Successful Servant Leaders. It's out there. So you can get it there. I also, as I mentioned, do executive coaching of some leaders. And by the way, it's not just executives. I'm going to hopefully work with the healthcare system by the end of the year, working with their middle managers, which, by the way, will be great fun because middle managers are very interesting people in themselves. And because there are a lot of people who have been there a long time, they're the salt of the earth. And they are key to the success of any organization. So I'm going to do that. So, and then, and I'm also, hopefully if it can be available for you, this can be done as a keynote or as a leadership development program. I'm hoping to be able to do more of that as well. And I love this is fun with Chelsea today because we can interact back and forth, which is really cool. And you're great at this. And
thank you.
You know, I did a Zoom presentation yesterday for a group here in Southwest Florida. And, you know, it's hard because I can't see their faces. I can't interact like I am with you. You know, anytime I speak or I'm, and it's a very interactive session. And we do a little bit of case study stuff and have fun with it. People talk their stories about this, which is always great to hear. And they definitely, as they warm up to share some of those, it's fun to hear because there's a lot of stuff going on out there. And so I think it's pretty amazing.
I love it. David, I got to just thank you. I always talk about time, and everyone that listens consistently, you know, I will always say that because I do. It is a gift. It is. We can't return it. We can't exchange it. Here we go. We can't circle back, right? That time is then gone. At that point. But you gave it, and I can only imagine how many of these that you are doing right now. But I just want to thank you just for coming on and giving us that overview, giving us those nuggets to help us in leadership, because it truly transcends any type of facet of our lives. And I really, really pray that, you know, this book is successful and that it helps so many people, because I know that it's going to help me as I read and that I push for others to read.
Well, I am very grateful for you inviting me on. I'm just starting to do these, but I can't imagine a forum that is so faith-based, and this is just, I don't know that I'll have anyone better than this, to be honest with you.
Thank you.
It's been just so gratifying, and I really look forward to this day, you know, and especially when you sent me the note about, you know, asked me about, you know, mentioning Jesus and, you know, look a couple of scriptures. I thought, wow, this is really going to be fun because I like this. Yes. And so my gift to you will be a copy of the book because.
Oh, thank you.
You've been so wonderful to me to do this. And if you send me your address when we're done, I'll drop one in the book. I'll assign one.
Yes,
that's interesting. This is interesting. That's a big deal. People all want
it
signed
is.
Copies.
It's a huge deal.
I've never realized how big a deal it is, but I'll send you one because you've been so gracious and so kind to have me. And I wish you the best in your basketball season coming up.
Thank you.
Looking for great things. And I want you to definitely keep me posted as to how your season is going and your servant leadership as being the head coach. And because you set the example. I mean, you know, if you say practice starts at this time and you're not there and they're there, I mean, they're going to all look to you. Mm-hmm. And I know you're doing a terrific job, and I could tell by your personality and you love young people, and that's what we need.
I do. I appreciate that so much. You know, as always, before we close out, I do want to just say a special prayer for you and for our listeners. So if you all could just bow your heads, unless you're driving. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now just for another opportunity to have paths crossed just to do your will. We thank you, Lord God, right now just because you don't treat us as our sins would allow. You don't treat us like men. You're so gracious, Lord God, and you're so just wonderful to all of our needs, and they're needs specific. So I pray right now a special prayer for people at their point of need. We don't need to know, but you know. So help us, Lord God, to know that when we approach you, we don't have to circle back. We don't have to wait. We sit here and know and stand in need that you will bless us exceedingly, abundantly above all that we can ask if we just trust you. I pray a special prayer right now over David, his family, all that he touches, his new endeavor, this book that I know that's going to bless so many. I pray that he has the strength and to sustain as he moves and does his interviews, his public speaking, his professional training. Just bless him and his family. Pray a special prayer of healing for that granddaughter of his, Lord God, and just give them the power to withstand as she goes through that, Lord God. I know that there's going to be a special blessing and a gift that you have on her life for her enduring, Lord God. But most of all, Lord God, I ask that you help us to be lights so that those that may not know you can see that illumination and find you. In your son Jesus' name, we will always pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you for the prayer. And thanks for the kind words from my granddaughter. That means a lot to me.
Absolutely.
Okay.
My favorite line of the podcast, Servant Leader David Zechman, you are now a part of the Servant Leader family.
Well, hey, you know what? And invite me back anytime. I'm happy to come on and share some other stories and things like that whenever you'd like. And I would look forward to that.
For sure. I appreciate you so much. We appreciate you guys for listening. If you need to know about
this,
that we speak joyfully about, send me a DM, message me. God is good, y'all, all the time, and he's good. We thank you guys so much for listening. We're going to see you guys next time.
Thank you all, everybody. I appreciate you listening today. Nice to.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This message comes from our sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's Teladoc Health/whatsyourwhy.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.